5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's Monday.
It's January 26th.
And the word of the day is Rohrbeck, which means a falsehood published for political effect.
Huh.
Used in a sentence. When the DHS claims an ICE agent has internal bleeding from the car we all watched not hit him, for example. Rohrbeck, you're lying.
Yeah.
You're a liar.
Yeah. It's crazy that they murdered another person and lied about it since you wrote that intro, though, right?
It's hard to keep up with
right?
it.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I renamed my shoeshine box Gadsden, guys. I don't know.
Haven't heard a word from the libertarians. It's so weird.
Oh, so weird.
Yeah, they're just kind of silent right now. It's insane.
Anyway, I'm No Illusions.
I'm Cecil Something Italian.
I'm Heath Enright, and broadcasting delayed from America's far center, we are the Skeptocrats.
On this week's episode, after crossing a red line, Trump goes yellow on Greenland.
Venezuelan Peace Prize winner bribes demon kids so she won't get wished into the cornfield.
And Republicans invite the world's leading expert on Donald Trump's crime to headline a big public hearing on Donald Trump's crime.
Did they do that? But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Cecil Something Italian. Gentlemen, Minnesota Angry Guy, TM, he's great, but Waycross Angry Guy and Chicago Angry Guy were already doing that for years.
Thank you.
Any, I don't know, any general announcements from those angry guys before we start with the other news?
Sure, yeah. You know what really grinds my gears? Murderous thug armies that shoot unarmed people in the back in an effort to spark a riot that could be used to justify further suspension of basic rights. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Irksome.
I know I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to go back to it. There is no one in the world that can foot throat like a Second Amendment small government libertarian, let me tell you, man.
Clearly.
The whole
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
All the way
snags,
to the ankle.
A lot of snags getting stepped on. Not a peep. Not a peep. Yeah.
So
just for the record, the moment we finished putting together our stories for this episode, we got news of another execution by ICE. So we're not going to talk about all the details of that, but that's the context for everybody, just so you know. That's what fucking happened again.
Yeah, we literally, our current event show cannot keep up with the federal government's murder of its citizens. Yeah,
way too much.
Okay, I started thinking about a novel of like, what would happen in the novel where there might be something that could be done now? So otherwise, you know, people, the average person has to just kind of be like, I guess I'll try to vote and hopefully maybe in November or maybe in 2 years in November, something good might happen. But in a novel,
time
there's,
machine.
Yeah. In a novel, there could be a time machine.
Oh, man.
In a novel, there could also. So this could actually be like within our existing rules anyway. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but in a fiction world, Congress, remember Congress is the thing we have? They could do something. We could get, what, 4 Republican defectors in the Senate and a small amount in the House, and there could be a temporary, like, okay, we're switching to somebody who's not Trump loyal, so Thune is out and Mike Johnson's out, and the people in charge of those two bodies become somebody reasonable, somebody anti-Trump who's like, okay, you have to shut off
I thought you were going to say they become Voltron. God damn it. No, okay, yours is good, too. Yeah.
Man.
But Congress could do that, and then they could be like, hey, Trump, shut it down entirely. ICE is gone. That's it. Or we're impeaching you right away. And obviously he would say no, and then be like, okay, we're impeaching you. I guess you need 67 votes in the Senate at that point to get a conviction, so we need some more defectors. but it's like theoretically possible. And then Vance becomes president and you're like, Vance, shut it down or we're impeaching you too. We'll make something up. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And then he'll say no because he's a fucking piece of shit. And then we make whoever's the new Speaker of the House the president. And then that could actually like change something now. That was like all I could think. I just made up a crazy novel in my head. I was so fucking angry.
Yeah, I mean, not to burst your bubble, but I can't imagine any of that happening at all. I mean, these people are such bootlickers. They've literally never steered away. Even when people are literally getting murdered in the streets mm-hmm. of the United States, they have not swerved at all. Very few of them. I mean, I won't say none of them, but there's most of them are still 100% on board with him.
Yeah, terrifying.
They like the coppery taste on the boots, yeah.
They sure do.
Yeah, salty. Fucking horrible. Okay, well, that's the context. We're going to talk about some other stories. It's a dark time. We're going to try to get some humor out of it just because I think we all need some humor out of whatever we can find a little bit. It's also the worst time ever in recent history in this country. So there's the context. It was that already, and it's that worse now. So let's talk about some other news. In our lead story tonight, in Taco Bruise Day.
I see why you had to have such a long lead in of like, if we're going to try to find some people, because how do you transition from their murdering us in the streets to Taco Bruise Day?
I had to get there.
You got to do something else before the wordplay.
It worked.
Okay. Well, here we go. Taco Bruise Day. Donald Trump chickened out and he bumped his hand. He has a little boo-boo on his hand. That's actually a really big boo-boo. That hand. Yeah. It could not afford it either. That hand was already falling off pretty good. We'll circle back to the leprous hand. More importantly, he went to a luxury compound in the Swiss Alps and spoke with a bunch of billionaires about the world economy. Mm. And the result was somehow more obnoxious than you'd guess based on hearing that description. It's also a giant failure for Donald Trump personally, so that part is fun. And we're not attacking Greenland and therefore all of NATO for now, so I guess that's good, too. Mm-hmm. But as usual, he's like the kid with the, you know, the chemical imbalance is what we called it in the 90s. That kid who picks up a chainsaw that everybody thought was locked away and just wields it all of a sudden. Like, even when he loses, nobody wins. So in this case, he spent the last few weeks claiming he'll take Greenland by force if needed. And then he got to the World Economic Forum in Davos and everyone was like, no, man, you're not doing that. You're not. Just fucking stop. And then Trump was like, no, I'm not. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to fucking stop. But I made a sweet deal. So to be clear, no, he didn't. That deal does not exist. He made a plan for a framework for the potential of a future potential maybe deal and announced it as if he made a deal. And that framework achieves absolutely nothing. Yep. Even if you're somebody who's only thinking about the selfish motives of the United States, all he accomplished with his World War III pump fake, which is insane, that's a thing that happened, all he accomplished was disrupt the entire economy, further weaken our alliances, further weaken our credibility, and make his next pump fake even dumber than this one, also known as Taco Bruise Day.
This is like convincing your tantrum-throwing toddler that the toy he already has at home is way cooler than the one at the store.
Really?
And him believing you.
Right. So, as we already knew, Donald Trump is incapable of speaking with linear thought for any extended period of time, and he spoke for 72 minutes at Davos.
Time.
So that's about 70 minutes of yes-anding himself with his favorite cool-sounding word from the previous sentence. His taco on Greenland was pretty much the only coherent thing he said. The rest of the time, he was saying things like, NATO isn't being cool about Iceland, and how come NATO never calls me daddy anymore?
Jesus Christ.
What? Is that what somebody said? Solid question. You gotta know some weird shit, and you gotta pull apart Trump's tenuous grasp on the world map and on, you know, language in general. In terms of the map, many people have pointed out his map appears to be the risk board in his head. With Greenland and
can we get
Venezuela.
Siam? Is it possible for us to get Siam?
Yakutsk and Irkutsk. Yeah, but in his head, Greenland and Venezuela are very large. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're crucial for protecting those continental edges and getting those bonus armies for having the continent on lockdown.
Bonus armies.
So in terms of the map, Trump got confused about the green having ice and the ice having green.
Yeah, right.
And he was
right.
thinking of Greenland. He was saying Iceland in that moment. It's a tricky one. Amazing. It's tricky. And the daddy part, that's a reference to NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, who actually did call Trump daddy last summer. After Trump said that Israel and Iran are like two kids in a schoolyard fighting, Mark Rutte said, daddy has to sometimes use strong language to get it stopped. And that, of course, was a big day for Trump, and he misses that. He likes being called daddy. And he said that out loud, that thing, Jesus that musing Christ. I just did.
I think everybody should pay attention to any maps he has on display in the White House for the next couple weeks. I guarantee that he's going to use a Sharpie to cross out green and put ice in there, just like he's put ice everywhere else he disagrees with.
Well said. And by the way, while we're on the subject of his understanding of maps and whatnot, he also pointed out that his Swiss audience, like if it wasn't for America, he told them that they would all be speaking German now. Which, to be clear, they are. Like, it's the most widely spoken language in their country.
Pretty but, big component.
But, like, clearly Trump thought they spoke, like, Switzerlandian or whatever. And they was just stoked about his zinger, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. The best part is they have Swiss, but it's Swiss-German.
Right,
and
yes.
He was like, you're speaking German. Yeah, man.
Downloading my Duolingo for Switzerlandian right now.
So Trump also claimed that it was stupid for the U.S. to give Greenland back to Denmark after World War II, which has the informational content of zero.
Right.
There's nothing there. We didn't ever have Greenland, nor did we have France because of, you know, U.S. soldiers in Normandy for a while. Nor did we have Japan because of all our uranium calling dibs. I don't know what he thinks.
Christ.
But we did already have everything that Trump claims we need from Greenland. We have a long-standing treaty with Denmark that lets us have military bases in Greenland. We used to have 20 of those bases. Now we have one. It's just our option, though. But we could go back to 20 if we want to protect it from the Chinese Navy that's never been near it in over a decade, just for the record. That's the excuse, though. And when Trump started talking about mining rare earth minerals, Denmark was like, yeah, man, good luck. Have fun, I guess. You can invest there if you want. So if you hear someone trying to make some kind of pro-Trump argument about like, well, it's good strategy for America, it's real politics, they're stupid. That's a stupid person. We could have achieved all the stuff that Trump wants in this deal by doing all readiness, which you don't do anything. It's all ready. And that doesn't fuck up our entire set of alliances and disrupt the world economy.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No. The best their fucking master deal maker could manage was a framework for all readiness that the other parties deny having made. Right. Like he's fucking unnegotiating at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is this big thread? What if I pull on this thread?
What's right. Yeah. Happen? Yeah.
Such an idiot. So Trump was clearly the big loser of the event. I also want to mention the big winners. Of course, Greenland and Denmark are up there, and the world economy and NATO and people who enjoy not having a world war. A lot of winners there. Another big winner was the European Union. Its leaders definitely made some very credible threats about using a provision called the Trade Bazooka. This is a real thing. Fantastic name and a smart idea that lets the EU decide that a lunatic like Trump is now a complete pariah from their entire economy if they want to. And they can do that in a variety of ways, including one plan that's been mentioned about targeting the local economies of all the places in the U.S. where Trump has the most voters. That's like the whole point of the EU is like stuff like this. They have a trade bazooka. They certainly threatened it. You know, just like when China flexed back and Trump tacoed on his Liberation Day tariff nonsense, it looks like the EU just, you know, pulled up its shirt to reveal a trade bazooka tucked into its belt. So great work by the EU.
Yeah. Well, and this idiot is only now realizing that I'll blow up our trade alliances again doesn't work as a threat, right? Like you can only do this shit once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He already made his pump fakes very, very much not credible in other ways too already. But for me, the biggest winner was Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney.
Oh, hell yeah.
This guy, I fucking love this guy. I mean, he's just like a boring econ nerd, but he went from that to the guy who made Trump go home and cry from Davos. Mm-hmm. While Trump was doing a panel, Carney was giving a speech in the form of like a backstage WWE rant, telling Trump to go fuck himself, and then just like smirking at the camera like a hockey enforcer with that awesome seven-tooth grin. Fucking great job. And I really don't think I was exaggerating about Trump and the crying. Trump left the summit and immediately started scream crying into his keyboard with all his grievances and also making a really sad list of like, oh yeah, also here's some perceived victories that I have. And he's doing the like, you know, also here's some things that I'm pretty sure I want. Here's a headline with my face on it from fucking
kicks a can really
one
quickly.
America. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, this is real though. From 12:40 a.m. to 1:30 a.m. on Friday, he made more than 70 posts social media. And then he woke up the next day, and from 10:30 a.m. until about 1 p.m., he made 51 more.
Jesus.
Several of those were screenshots of just fucking random people on like Truth Social who vaguely agreed with some other thing he had posted a few seconds earlier.
I feel like the speed limit for presidents on social media should be one post a day. And if you exceed that, we get to shoot you out of the trade bazooka.
or with the trade bazooka, whichever hurts
with,
more. I don't know.
I will take with as well. Yes.
Right. He also remembered Mark Carney during his little rant here, and he posted an angry note on Truth Social about that. He told Carney that Canada is no longer invited to join my awesome board of peace that I made. So
he got uninvited.
In case anybody missed it on the board of peace, that's the subscription service that gets you in the little club that thinks they're going to solve the Middle East real quick. That's their first thing. And then become the new United Nations. And you can join for just one easy payment of $1 billion that Trump controls. Trump did a signing ceremony in Davos for his Board of Peace, and like nobody showed up that he invited. Pretty much all of Europe snubbed him. He got a few fascists, naturally, like, you know, Viktor Orban and, I don't know, some fucking guy from Bulgaria. It doesn't matter. But
yeah, who resigned the next day,
Yeah, he didn't even get Putin to show up for his big, like, dictator party thing.
I mean, it does get the best people. Putin would have been arrested for war crimes if he had shown up. That's important to mention.
Yeah, we should make it clear that Carney's whole speech could be best summarized as, well, the last thing we ever want to do is get into more international organizations controlled by the U.S., right? And his punishment was not being allowed to be in an international organization controlled by the U.S.
Are you sure you don't want to go in the briar patch? I will throw you in.
Yeah, it was. A lot of briar patch in there. So here's the part that got me last week, because I already thought, you know, we're probably living in a simulation. It feels like that a lot. I see a lot of glitches in the Matrix. And then the president of the United States actually tilted at windmills and said, war is peace. Almost exactly. But he's an idiot, so he said that wrong. I know he's never read Cervantes and Orwell, but the lizard aliens with the simulation machine probably have read that stuff. So during the speech on Wednesday, Trump said that windmills are a hoax and railed against windmills. Hoax. And then when he got back, he got a question about the Board of Peace. And he said, exact quote, peace is so destructive for everyone, even countries that aren't involved. It's so destructive for everybody when you have wars.
Come on, man. They would have demanded to see Biden's brain if he had said that right there. They would have taken it right out of his fucking head.
Right? Yeah, no, I saw a tweet the other day. Somebody basically said we've moved from Orwellian to Vonnegutian at this point. And I feel like that quote pretty much settles it, right?
Yeah.
Where's Kilgore Trout with that bazooka, man? Yeah. So, yeah, he couldn't even get the propaganda right. He's like Big Brother's sloppy understudy who can't get the lines correctly.
He's like middle brother.
Oh, my God. He's the ultimate middle brother. He's got the whole complex. So here's what I want to see happen. Trump's whole thing is trying to be this, you know, alpha dog piece of shit character, and it defines his entire existence. His ego is everything. But he also fails at almost everything. So I want every world leader to start challenging Trump publicly to a big MMA fight. Like, apparently, we're making a giant UFC event. It's going to be the centerpiece of America's 250th birthday party this summer. So the venue is ready to go. And Mark Carney is my first pick. Mark Carney, he's only about 5'9", 190 pounds to Donald Trump's, well, 6'3", 235.
He's not. No, he's not.
Genius of stability.
Not either of those. One's low, one's high.
But regardless of the real numbers, Carney would beat the fuck out of Donald Trump.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Carney's a legit hockey player who grew up in Edmonton, Alberta. He's a goalie, but still, Trump's a bruisy little baby with tiny little baby hands that are falling off. I would pay so much money to watch that pay-per-view.
Oh, he punches him with that necrotic fucking hand of his, and it just turns to dust like a seed pod. Yeah. And instead of his shirt, Carney just like pulls his comb over down over his eyes or whatever. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And speaking of getting beat up, that brings us back full circle to the fucking grisly hand injury that happened to Trump. It looks terrifying. Like Melania cast a spell on a turnip that she was angry at. But according to Donald, he just had a little oopsie and bumped it on a table. I don't know what the fuck is happening in his life, but he said he bumped it on a table. But don't worry, he's going to be okay. He said, quote, I put the huge pause for him to figure out the word here, and then he lands on the word cream on it. He said, I put the cream on.
Oh, the cream. Yeah, it escapes you. I wonder if maybe megadosing aspirin has anything to do with it.
Is there a chance that bruises you up a little bit? Smash into tables all the time with your crazy hands? Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Mint Mobile.
Hey, Cecil. Fancy meeting you here.
Oh, hi, Noah. Great to see you, too. Fancy meeting you in the line for the gift return counter.
Yeah. Hey, is that the gift I got you for Christmas?
Yeah, sorry. It's just that...
No, don't worry about it, Cecil. I'm here to return the gift you got me. It's just like after all the holiday spending, I started to realize that the budget's a bit tight this year.
Well, guys, if you've got a big spending hangover, you should just try Mint Mobile.
Oh, hey, Heath. Didn't realize you were here.
What's Mint Mobile?
That doesn't count.
I waited over 1.6 seconds, as agreed in the Treaty of Ypsilanti. We all remember that. That's locked in.
Okay.
Mint Mobile's the place to go for premium wireless, and their end-of-the-year sale is still going on, but only till the end of the month. Cut out Big Wireless's bloated plans and unnecessary monthly charges with 50% off 3, 6, or 12 months of unlimited. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts.
But have you actually tried it?
I have. I started using Mint Mobile when they first became a sponsor. It's the same coverage I always had at a fraction of the price. That's why I, no illusions, personally endorse Mint Mobile.
This January, quit overspending on wireless with 50% off unlimited premium wireless. Plans start at $15 a month at mintmobile.com/skeptocrat. That's mintmobile.com/skeptocrat. Limited time offer. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12 months. Plan required. $15 a month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
Awesome. So I suppose you were returning my gift because of your holiday spending hangover too, huh, Cecil?
Yeah.
Are you sure? You didn't sound sure.
Yep. Yep.
I just like hanging out on the line here.
Yeah, clearly.
And we're back. Next up in headlines in Microsoft Face Paint news, or I guess we could do Ice Ice Crybaby too as well. Protesters in Minnesota this last week walked into City's church and brought a church service there to a screeching halt as they protested Immigration, Customs and Enforcement, or ICE, shock troops on the ground in their city. The protest was an event that was put together by Black Lives Matter Minnesota, as well as a few other organizations. They targeted this church specifically because they believed, and We still, as of this recording, don't have any statement from the church denying this, that one of the leaders there was also the acting director of ICE's field office for enforcement and removal operations in St. Paul. I realize that saying Black Lives Matter in Minnesota is actually two-thirds of the summoning ritual for the National Guard, so I apologize in advance.
Yeah, it's like they started killing white people just to underscore how full of shit the All Lives Matter crowd was, right?
Yeah.
All right. So now, the church did release a statement on their website, and here it is in part. Quote, Jesus is real.
Oh, cool. Well, that clears it up. That clears everything up. Good stuff. Nobody, nothing. Jesus is real.
Also, cool. He's not. Right? Like, so why start with such a demonstrable lie?
Distinction. Yeah. They continue the quote. Quote, we gather on Sunday mornings to worship him. We are gladly giving ourselves to what is most central and sacred in our life together. On Sunday, January 18th, a group of agitators jarringly disrupted our worship gathering. They accosted members of our congregation, frightened children, and created a scene marked by intimidation and threat.
Okay, just going to translate as we go. A few black people walked in and we started growling like neo-Nazi dogs on the porch.
Pretty much. Continue the quote, such conduct is shameful, unlawful, and will not be tolerated. Invading a church service to disrupt the worship of Jesus or any other act of worship is protected by neither the Christian scriptures nor the laws of this nation.
Translation, we were changing money on some really nice tables, and we totally lost count because these people disrupted our counting of our money on the change of tables. Yeah. Jesus would never stand for that, the people getting disrupted while they count the money.
Last bit here, quote, Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, lived, died, and rose again for the rescue of all who put their faith in him. He offers a love that transcends cultures, borders, policies, and politics, end quote.
And we have not taken that offer. Also, we are not strong readers. Reading is tricky.
Yeah. To be clear, the intimidation and threat was just like them being black. Nobody threatened everybody. They're just scared of black people.
Yep. Now, a church that was anti-immigration might say, in words wrapped in Bible speak, fuck ICE, we're on your side. Doesn't sound like that to me. Mm-mm. We can also tell this church was anti-immigration because immediately after the disruption, we saw a mobilization of the U.S. government to punish these protesters.
Right.
Okay. If people disrupt your thing to protest a Gestapo, which we have now, you have to join in with them.
Yes,
like, agree.
It doesn't matter what's happening. Whatever you're doing, like, I could be weeping at my dad's funeral, and I'd immediately join that flash mob.
Exactly.
Start singing.
Yeah. So the Justice Department is going to use a 1994 law that bars using or threatening force and physical obstruction to interfere or intimidate someone worshiping at a religious institution to prosecute these protesters. Pam Bondi, the attorney general and Trump's attack dog, a moniker she hates because that puts her in Kristi Noem's crosshairs, said this to the press, quote, attacks against law enforcement and intimidation of Christians are being met with full force of the federal law, end quote.
Sorry, just to be clear, not the Christian off-duty cop we started arresting and demanded her papers, and then we
fucking
ran away when she took out the badge. She's a cop. I meant attacks on our thing.
God, you know, if only welcoming immigrants into your land was the single most oft-repeated entreaty in their entire fucking holy book, that would solve so many problems, wouldn't it?
No kidding, man. You can't turn a fucking page in the New Testament without something like that. It's amazing. All right. So they arrested two of the people involved. One is a veteran and a TikTok influencer who calls ICE agents Nazis and traitors. He goes by the handle Da Woke Farmer. His photo looks normal. He's photographed and he looks normal. But the civil rights attorney and organizer Nakima Levy Armstrong, she was taken into custody and her photo, you know, looked somewhat stoic. She's handcuffed and she's walking towards the camera, looked normal and stoic. And we know this because it was posted originally by DHS on Twitter. And then a half hour later, the White House account posted on Twitter the same photo with a few key differences. They photoshopped Nakima Levy Armstrong crying, like having a full-on breakdown, and they added the phrase, arrested far-left agitator Nakima Levy Armstrong for orchestrating church riots in Minnesota.
This is so stupid. They did it to their own photo that they had just put out. Their doctored photo might as well have, like, cartoon tears flying out sideways in Sharpie.
No kidding. It looks so bad. So not only did they manipulate this image of this person to make them look like they're crying, they're calling them church riots.
Yeah.
And when asked for comment, the White House Deputy Communications Director wrote, enforcement of the law will continue. The memes will continue. So these dumb fucks don't realize that manipulating this photo is an improper extrajudicial statement. Her lawyers said the photo was evidence that the Justice Department bore some sort of animus against her and filed the charges vindictively. A motion of that kind could, in theory, result in the charges one day being dismissed.
And almost certainly will. Yeah. Yeah, their actual response to "you're lying," though, was yes, and we will continue to.
The lying will continue
until morale improves. Also, we're going to shoot people.
It's not going to improve.
We're going to shoot people. And in Guinea break news, that's got to feel so racist, but it will make sense when we get to it. Sorry. So the reaction
against Italian people, Cecil. Are you cool with this?
That's why we have Cecil on today, actually.
Cecil said we could say
this. Matter. Yeah.
So the reaction of way too many Trump supporters to "it's unspeakably cruel," though, is don't worry, they're doing it to brown people. So you know how anti-vaxxers have long used this talking point that says vaccines are unsound, right, or the science around them is unsound because we haven't done double-blind placebo testing with them? And you know how our counterpoint is, well, that's because doing double-blind placebo testing on a vaccine that's already been shown to be safe and effective would mean intentionally exposing children to potentially fatal and crippling diseases to learn what we already knew.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hey, the argument's done. The argument's done.
No, yeah, turns out their answer is, don't worry, they're doing it to brown people.
Fuck.
Because apparently the Trump administration has awarded a Danish university a no-bid $1.6 million grant to do exactly that to newborns in Guinea-Bissau.
Okay, I got to say, Survivor's getting weird in season 6.
Oh, Jesus.
It feels like you're running out of ideas.
It is like a game show, but the buzzers just kill people. What is this?
Right. So I only learned about this a couple of days ago when the Nation decided to suspend the study before it even got started because presumably they realized what it was, right? But the plan was and continues to be, according to the Trump administration, to do a randomized control trial on the hepatitis B vaccine on 14,000 newborns in Guinea-Bissau, denying the vaccine to half of them, and then, you know, check in to see later how many of them died of liver failure.
Come on.
Insane.
And yeah, and in case you're wondering, yes, hepatitis B is incredibly common in Guinea-Bissau. It's like 1 in 5 people there get it. So you remember the Tuskegee Airmen? Think like that with babies.
Jesus cool. Christ. Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure what the exact number is, but just straight up murdering like 1,000 babies would be more ethical than doing that study.
Yeah.
Or like, again, some other number that's not zero.
It's a non-zero number. Yes, right. And look, this would be an inhumanely cruel experiment to run anywhere in the world, but Guinea-Bissau is one of the poorest countries in the world, right? 91% of their population lives on less than $9 a day. 40% live on less than 3. So suffice to say that they didn't have a particularly robust healthcare to fall back on. And this study is only funded through 5 years, right? So Hep B is one of those diseases that can be more or less controlled with antivirals and shit, even in its chronic form. But that's really fucking hard to do when you're living on $3 a day in a nation with one hospital bed for every 1,000 people. So last Thursday, Quinin Nantote, the country's health minister, announced that the study was being suspended pending a technical and ethical review by their public health institute. But when press asked the HHS about this, their spokespeople said it was still go. Quote, the study is proceeding as planned and we continue to work with our partners to finalize the study's protocols, end quote. That's the official response from RFK Jr.'s Department of Health and Human Services in response to the country itself going, yeah, we're not doing this.
Coming in for a landing. Love at CDC. What the fuck is happening?
Yes.
I don't know why you guys are all so sensitive about this. It's right here in Joseph Mengele's big book of science.
Yeah,
this
right.
The whole thing.
That's where we're at. And I want to be super clear on just how cruel this study is. So getting hepatitis B is bad, but when you get it matters too. Like the worst possible time to get it apparently is as a newborn. If you get infected as a newborn, the odds that you'll have the chronic lifelong infection, that's like 90%. And that infection leads to liver failure and liver cancer. But it's worse than that because this study is designed, funded, and if it's run, it will be run by anti-vaxxers. So they're also fucking cheating. According to critics of the study, that is, you know, people who don't want to intentionally kill African kids with cirrhosis, they're intentionally designing the study to exaggerate the dangers of giving the first vaccine at birth.
This is terrifying. Like, if you said to me, hey, Heath, write a sketch about the conversation overheard inside a volcano lair.
Right.
I would have been mad when you showed me this article. I've been right? That's actually really good.
Right. So the Trump administration is clearly trying to ram this through over the objections of Guinea-Bissau's health ministry. And given how poor the country is and how much they've already choked off foreign aid, right, they can probably flash a bit of money and make that happen. But even if Guinea-Bissau manages to stand firm, there are still 17 countries in sub-Saharan Africa even poorer than they are, so I'm sure they're going to find somewhere willing to host it. It being, and I just can't emphasize this enough, killing African children with liver cancer so they can justify killing more American children with liver cancer.
Fuck.
Wow.
And in collaborate and glisten news, ICE is back with a brand new edition.
Oh, are they?
They hired a journalist who applied for a job as a joke because they're fucking idiots. We already had about 7,000 ICE agents before Trump started his second term, and now we have almost 20,000. And in order to do that, they've had to do some pretty serious DEI hiring. You know, in terms of diversity of talent, Dean Cain got a job.
Okay, he's going to finish that obstacle course any day now, guys. He's almost done.
And during that ridiculous hiring process, they did incredibly dumb stuff, like using AI very badly to find any appearance of the word officer on applications and pushing those to the top of the pile under the assumption that it meant previous experience as a police officer. And even when it did mean that, you're often talking about a former police officer who wasn't allowed to be that anymore. Well, given all that, the amazing journalist, Laura Jadid, definitely check out her article. She applied for a position just to see what the process looks like, and she got hired pretty much immediately with almost no vetting. And then she wrote an article in Slate entitled, "You've heard about who ICE is recruiting. The truth is far worse. I'm the proof."
Yeah, no, at this point, you basically have to draw Tippy the Turtle. That's pretty much it.
So, link in the show notes for Jadid's article. Great work. But I'll give you the important details. Jadid is a U.S. Army veteran, so that was a good start on the application. But she's also an easily searchable journalist with a fairly unique name who's been openly critical of ICE and the Trump administration. But again, these people at ICE are fucking idiots, so that didn't end up mattering. She went to a recruiting expo in August. She did an interview that lasted less than 6 minutes. She got it that day, less than 6 minutes of an interview. She never signed any paperwork. And then on September 3rd, she had an email with a tentative job offer and a link to their online portal. That's where you submit your ID, answer questions about any domestic violence convictions you might have, and give permission for a background check. She did not do any of that stuff on the portal, but nonetheless, she still got a follow-up email 3 weeks later that said, "Thanks for moving forward. Please submit a drug test now."
Oh.
I love that the head of DHS, which has ICE as a branch, shot her fucking dog because it was rambunctious. And they have the gall to ask about a domestic violence on the application?
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah. I mean, they theoretically ask, but they don't care if you answer at all.
Yeah, clearly.
Apparently.
Yep.
So at this point, Jadid decided they might actually be stupid enough to hire a journalist doing a prank. So despite having smoked pot 6 days earlier, she took a drug test that would get sent to ICE. 9 days later, she checked the site, and even without submitting her ID or any documents like the domestic violence affidavit, she had a formal job offer and her status said entered on duty. So she turned down the offer and she wrote the article.
Okay, wait, so their agents are clinically tested for drugs? That's where we're going with that? Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. So in response to the article coming out, DHS tried to pretend it was all fake. They posted on Twitter, "This is such a crazy lie. This individual was never offered a job at ICE. Applicants may receive a tentative selection letter. That is not a job offer. It just means they're invited to submit information for review." And, okay, well, that was such a lazy lie just now. So Jadid responded, "You sure about that?" Along with a video showing herself navigating their site and showing that her application got a full job offer.
Amazing.
And after getting no follow-up to that, because, you know, what the fuck would they say, she also added, quote, "The video I posted clearly shows a final offer and onboarding date, which I interpreted to mean a final offer and onboarding date. Maybe it has some other secret meaning, but I haven't learned what it might be."
Oh, God.
ICE did not respond to a request for comment.
Well, they didn't want to talk into a mic after it had been on the ground, you know?
And just one other ICE thing to close it out. We've got a sub headline in "Have an ICE trip." This is so stupid. A bunch of ICE agents slipped on the ice in Minnesota and ate it so.
Oh, I love this video so fucking much.
Look, the existence of an ethnic cleansing squad going around the country hunting people and executing another one we just found out is one of the worst things in our recent history. But it's nonetheless really funny when neo-Nazis fall down and hurt themselves. And like, they fell down so bad. We need this. We just need a little bit to laugh at here. And thanks to some amazing journalism by just random people on social media, you can watch this happen and realize your ultimate sexual kink is neo-Nazis falling down and eating it really hard. I put together a little flipbook in the notes of my favorite fall, and I also found a montage on Reddit. It's got like slow-mo video and agents dropping all their, you know, tactical whatever the fuck that they think they have in every direction, like full yard sale of a bad skier.
Yep.
And then delightful Minnesotans conquering their evolutionary instinct to help people who fall on the ice and just going buck wild in celebration while some fascist thug slowly gets up and hobbles away in embarrassment, making that like, it's the best. While Foreigner sings "Cold as Ice" in the montage I was talking about, it's the best thing. It's the best thing.
The one you put in the notes is amazing because that dude, his loot shoots everywhere like an NPC in a D&T game. It's amazing.
Not supposed to kill the NPCs. Think about how farcical you have to be.
Play it how
as
you
a leader.
Play it. Tell me how to play it.
But think about how farcical you have to be as a leader for even your murderous army of fascist thugs to be a laughingstock, right? Every time you see videos of ICE, there's just all these people like standing around them, like shooting videos, laughing at them, making them look like dumbasses.
You guys fit with Yakety Sax and you're a Gestapo. It's crazy. It's crazy. That's all true. So in response to all that, we got to watch DHS Assistant Secretary Trisha McLaughlin go on Hannity and accuse Minnesota Antifa, I guess, of doing murderous ICE pranks with ICE. She claimed these agitators are, quote, pouring cold water on the ground so it would freeze the ground in front of our ICE vehicles so that they would potentially slide, crash, and potentially kill them. End quote.
Well, how else would the water get there, Heath, to freeze? Come on. Is it falling out of the sky?
I don't know. Maybe people are doing that. That's fucking awesome if they are. Whatever. I mean, like, be careful out there, but like,
salt with
know.
Deadly water.
Yeah. In my heart, I love that. Also, just a little detail. Whoever made the version of one of these photos, they photoshopped in Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat shooting the ice onto the ground in front of an ICE agent. So many Heath points for
it. It's so good. Well, that's what you get when you're ICE Raiden. Ice Raid and... Somebody put the little hat on him. Put the little hat on him. Like he's raiding and he's getting knocked over. Amazing. And in Nobel Peace Offering news, as you all know, we had a military operation in Venezuela in early January to remove Nicolas Maduro from the presidency and send him to the United States to be prosecuted for drug crimes, which is probably a violation of the UN Charter. But since other countries in the UN have a ballot the size of a small slip of paper and the US has a vote that you could use as a bedsheet, nothing's going to happen to us. But that's basically water under the bridge. Trump's plan to flood the zone with crazy statements, lies, and dangerous government actions means that we only talked about it for 16 minutes before the next scandal.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's fine. We got rid of Maduro and his corruption, and now things are totally different with his VP in charge, and Marco Rubio also, I guess, in charge as viceroy. Yes, okay, yes. The government arrested 15 kids for a water balloon fight and charged them with treason. But they're only prosecuting the 10 adults who are treasonously water balloon fighting that they also arrested.
Yeah. Look, I can condemn a lot of things, Cecil, but I've recently become a huge fan of abducting other countries' corrupt leaders and forcing them to face charges in kangaroo courts. If anybody's listening.
You just won me over. That sounds great. Now, a lot of people speculate as to why Trump would choose to send our military to another country on a covert operation to capture that country's president for drug crimes when he literally pardoned another former president of Honduras in November who was convicted of conspiring with drug traffickers and using his governmental position to help hundreds of tons of cocaine enter the United States. So good question. Seemed that it might be for oil or oil money. We quickly found out that he had private meetings with oil company executives before the raid. He sat on the tarmac being drowned out by Air Force One. He had conversations with all the oil companies before and after the raid.
All of them.
So had to be oil, right? That's why we went down there, right?
Yeah. It's super chill in Venezuela now. Great business atmosphere for a few hundred billion dollars of investment. Of really hard to get oil that's not as good. Exxon was like, hey, this is a great opportunity, Mr. President, and a great opportunity to Chevron. Chevron. Yeah. I love this. I love this for you, Chevron.
Yeah, right.
Well, we went first on a few other things. Why don't you guys go?
So these are people who are like, bottom of the ocean, no problem. North of the Arctic Circle, you bet. Typhoon-laden earthquake zone, don't mind if I do. And they're like, fuck it, Venezuela? Are you fucking kidding me?
So, maybe a different theory. Could it be, dear listener, that in fact, all of that is a cherry on top of a bad plan by a narcissist to overshadow the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize? Maria Corina Machado has been the opposition leader in Venezuela, and she was given the Nobel Peace Prize by the Nobel Committee in October of 2024 for her tireless work promoting democratic rights for the people of Venezuela and for her struggle to achieve a just and peaceful transition from dictatorship to democracy. After she got the award from the committee, not the government of Norway, Trump's administration immediately sent out a message on social media, quote, "The Nobel Committee proved they place politics over peace. Trump will continue to make peace deals, ending wars and saving lives. He has the heart of a humanitarian. There will never be anyone like him who can move mountains with the sheer force of his will," end quote.
Okay, it's true. Nobody like him will do that. That last part is technically true.
Yeah. Trump also said that Machado called him after she had won and they had a conversation. Quote, "The person who actually got the Nobel Prize call today called me and said, I'm accepting this in honor of you because you really deserved it." He continued, "A very nice thing to do. I didn't say then give it to me, though I think she might have. She was very nice." He also said, quote, "I've been helping her along the way. They need a lot of help, Venezuela. It's a basic disaster. So, and you could also say it was given out during 24, and I was running for office in 24, end quote. Not sure what any of that means here, but it really does make you wonder if the oil or the drugs were really the issue, or if he really just wanted to show the Nobel Committee, not the government of Norway, that
that he was able to do more for Venezuela.
Yeah, maybe. But I honestly, though, I feel like in a certain degree, assigning a motive to Trump's actions is kind of like when you pick a marble to root for at the beginning of the marble run. You know, like, I don't know. You're fair. Probably right. You might be right, but
that is fair. This saga had a new chapter to it added early last week when Trump and Machado met at the White House, where she gave him, in a frame, her Nobel Peace Prize, which is like giving someone else your podcast award because you thought they deserved it. It is nothing. I mean, all of us were hoping Trump would get a bunch of plaque, but not this kind of plaque. You know what I mean? This is a framed medal, and it had this note, quote, presented as a personal symbol of gratitude on behalf of the Venezuelan people in recognition of President Trump's principled and decisive action to secure a free Venezuela, end quote. It seems Trump is pretty clearly motivated by gifts like the FIFA Peace Prize or private jets or large piles of cash. So giving him a medal that was sort of a calculated ploy to try to garner favor and possibly be installed as president.
So fucking stupid. But the photo of Trump holding this thing and smiling like an idiot is priceless. So the medal from Nobel, it's framed up with some little captions on like construction paper are also it's like a diploma from preschool that you'd display. And some White House aide clearly had to like run down to Target and get a live, laugh, love poster in a frame from Target and pull out the stuff that was in there so they could have this photo. It's so stupid.
Oh, and by the way, while we're kicking kudos to our favorite meme smiths, like we did with the Sub-Zero guy, I want to buy a drink for whatever brilliant meme smith juxtaposed that image with his transphobic quote about not letting men take women's trophies.
Right? Amazing. Chef's kiss. So he may be leaning that way towards installing her as president. He said this to the press a couple days ago, quote, I felt so strongly against Venezuela. Now I'm loving Venezuela. They've been working with us so well. It's been so nice. And an unbelievably nice woman also did an incredible thing. We're talking to her. Maybe we can get her involved in some way. I'd love to be able to do that, Maria. Maybe we can do that, end quote.
Give me more stuff. Yeah.
All it takes is one incredibly rare medal and you can become a president.
Or $1 million. And finally tonight, in You Don't Know Jack News, Republicans took a break this week from weaponizing the Department of Justice against their political enemies to accuse the Biden administration of weaponizing the Department of Justice against their political enemies.
Yep.
And I know you need more detail because they're always doing that to some degree, like, you know, the way that they're regulating their blood temperature or regrowing cells or whatever. So more specifically, they made the mistake of letting Jack Smith testify publicly about why exactly he charged Trump with two of the felonies he committed.
Hey, okay, if you think you're about to pull off a big win against Jack Smith, and then he dances into the hearing like he's Conor McGregor with a huge grin.
Right?
You might want to call time out and just rethink the plan real quick.
Oh, gosh. And how do you think your champion in this fight is going to be Jim fucking Jordan?
Right.
I mean, come on,
yes,
man.
Yes, right. So quick reminder, Jack Smith was the special counsel assigned to investigate Trump's efforts to stay in power after he lost the 2020 election. And because you can't fully investigate one major crime by Trump before he commits another, he also wound up investigating Trump's efforts to hide a truckload of classified documents in his spare bathroom. Both of those investigations led to charges being filed, and those charges were ultimately withdrawn, not because the cases lacked merit or because any judge rejected them, but because we're so fucking stupid as a country that we reelected the felon, and the DOJ has a longstanding policy against, indicting sitting presidents.
Yeah, and we could have avoided that reelection, but, Merrick Garland, he was busy. He had to scrape across a bunch of bedrock and create moraines and tills while slowly melting.
You know what they say? Wheels of justice. Up, they're seizing up again, guys.
Yeah,
seizing up.
Yeah. Well, so the idea was like they wanted to paint Smith as this ideological zealot who was ordered by Biden to go after Trump. And since their supporters are divorced from reality as a condition of membership, that's what their guys saw, I guess. But the main thrust of the Republican argument seemed to be, I noticed you didn't investigate any Democratic lawmakers about the Republican effort to overturn the election, right? And of course, they also had to let the Democrats talk as this was going on.
Yeah.
So it gave them a chance to just list all the various ways that Trump is doing exactly what they're pretending Biden did on a daily fucking basis.
Yeah, apparently Republicans thought they'd have amazing gotchas about stupid little details. But they also forgot that Democrats get to ask questions, too. Like, for example, Donald Trump did crimes. Oh, sorry. Did crimes? Disgusting.
Yes, right. Well, yeah, because they're like, what evidence did you have of him committing the crime? He's like, oh, I'm so glad you asked.
You have to ask the question again up at the end. It's up at the end.
Yeah, right. Yep. So now, to be clear, as Republicans were trying to make the official case that their president would never be so careless as to weigh in on matters of impartial justice, Trump was tweeting, quote, "Hopefully the attorney general is looking at what he's done, including some of the crooked and corrupt witnesses that he was attempting to use against me. The whole thing was a Democratic scam. A big price should be paid by them for what they have put our country through," end quote.
He live tweeted this hearing. That actually happened. There was an actual moment when Democrat Joe Neguse of Colorado was like, "Hey, Jack Smith, thanks for describing how you definitely never took orders from Joe Biden and you're impartial. Quick pause to let you know, Donald Trump just now live tweeted this hearing and he said, 'Jack Smith is a deranged animal. Pam Bondi should prosecute him. I'm giving an order to the head of the Justice Department right now.'"
Right. Crazy. Now, of course, the most awkward aspect of the whole ordeal is that many of the people Smith was investigating were the ones that were grilling him in this hearing, right? So it led to a lot of weird first-person moments, like where Jim Jordan says, quote, "They got my phone records for 2.5 years, end quote. And Jack Smith has to be like, right, because of all the crimes that you were criminaling when I was doing that.
So like, you're a criminal?
Right, yes. Oh, I don't have to go up, do I? I just get to. But when Jordan attacked him on the phone records, which the Republicans have repeatedly pretended were fucking wiretaps, they weren't. They were just records of who called who and when. His response was, quote, "The conspiracy that we were investigating, it was relevant to get toll records to understand the scope of that conspiracy, who they were seeking to coerce, who they were seeking to influence," and then looking Jordan right in the fucking soul, quote, "who was seeking to help them," end quote.
Yeah, and when that went very badly for the Republicans, because obviously they took another big swing, turns out it's going to be a mess. They said, like, "Hey, this guy looked at our call history to check if we did crimes. And you didn't let us finish. He didn't even tell us ahead of time he was doing that." And Jack Smith, huge smile, was like, "Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Hey, look over at your boy Lindsey Graham. He was a prosecutor. He's been gesturing wildly at you since he started your sentence. This is really dumb what you're doing."
I love that they thought they could intimidate the war crime lawyer guard.
Yes, right.
The war crime lawyer guy. Like, bless their hearts. He's like leaning over. He's like blowing snot out of one of his nostrils during the break, you know, cracking his neck, getting ready.
Right. Now, so for his part, Smith crushed the appearance. No doubt he was ecstatic to finally have a public forum to rebut the repeated attacks by Trump and his cronies imputing his investigation and his motives. And he made it clear, at least as clear as he could make it, that had these charges gone to trial, they would have ended in convictions, right? And when they asked him if there was anything he wished he'd done differently with regards to the investigation, he said he wished he'd thanked his underlings more, which is like, I guess it's a fairly standard response in a situation like that, but it was a great way to remind everybody that a bunch of the people who worked on this investigation were fired in retaliation for it, right? He also summarized his overall point pretty pithily, quote, "My belief is that if we do not hold the most powerful people in our society to the standards of the rule of law, it can be catastrophic," end quote. Which, like, the transcript doesn't say, asterisk gestures vaguely at everything, asterisk, but I believe that can be implied.
I can't believe how stupid this was to do this and invite Jack Smith to be able to talk about it. It's like that escape scene from The Deer Hunter was a scheduled hearing. Jack Smith ahead of time was like, "Please have the gun ready for me with extra bullets this time." But it's even worse than that. At the hearing, Jim Jordan picked up the gun and it just like backfired in his face. Jack Smith didn't even have to shoot anybody.
And you do the gestured vaguely thing here, but after a year of this presidency, you'd have to have at least as many arms as Shiva to gesture correctly, right?
Right. But the most notable response to the questioning didn't come from Smith. See, among the attendees at the hearing were four former cops that defended the
defended the
Capitol during Trump's feeble little insurrection. And at one point, one of the Republican douchebags said that the riot was the fault of the Capitol Police for, like, not subduing them with song or whatever the fuck he thought they could do, to which one of the former cops coughed, "Fuck yourself," end quote.
Yeah.
Which is, based on his body language, the response Smith had been wishing he could give the whole time. So kudos to that dude.
Sorry, can we have the steno read back the last thing that somebody said? I think, can we read that back?
Cough.
Can you read?
Slash fuck yourself.
Can
cough,
you read that
cough,
back again?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. One more time. What did it say? Cough, fuck yourself. Is that right?
You really have to admire the Republicans' adherence to blaming the victim, though. It's their defining trait, I think.
It really
in the last
is at
years.
This point. Yeah. He had a gun. Well, he had a gun.
God. All right. On that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to Noah, thanks to Cecil, and thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening, and please keep telling your friends. And Cecil, if anyone wants to hear more from you, where should they go?
Well, they can go to dissonancepod.com to catch Cognitive Dissonance, or they can go to norogan.com and listen to the No Rogan Experience that I do with Michael Marshall.
Ooh, excellent. That's about Joseph Rogan,
it is. We have to listen podcaster. To Joseph Rogan every week.
Hey, question. I heard Joe Rogan realized maybe he's a giant piece of shit idiot, and voting for Trump and backing Trump might have been a bad idea in certain ways, and now he's like against ICE. I heard that. Is that exactly right?
100% not true. And you could listen to a recent show we did on Rand Paul, where the media took a very specific quote from him and made it seem like he's backing out, but he 100% both sides the whole episode, and it's a whole thing. But half the episode is dedicated to breaking down exactly what he said about ICE, and it's not as heartening as you would think.
Okay, so liar. Somebody's
liar. Liar, media, liar. He's a liar. Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds about right. All right. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like all the generous new donors, you will be complimented next time around. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off.
Dude, I had such an awesome gift for you, and then it just didn't ship, and they didn't give me any explanation whatsoever as to why it didn't ship. They're just like, "You're gifted," and I'm just like, "Did my payment not go through? Did you run out of it? Did you not
we
have
give
it?
Gifts, not explanations, motherfucker."
Yeah, well, they don't give the gifts either. They don't.
Yeah.
You want to email back and be like, "Now you owe me. You have to tell my friend about
right,
this."
Right. You have to tell my friend how awesome the gift I was. At least, send him a picture of what I. Yeah.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and Thunderstorm, LLC. Copyright 2026. All rights reserved.